He's going to be doing most of the speaking.
Well, there'll be another mic. No? Aren't they connecting another?
Yes.
I've requested Vasu Ghosh Prabhu to tell us of his memories of his personal association with Srila Prabhupada, which he had quite considerable association. First of all, to put it all into context, briefly you can relate the background of how you joined, what you were doing before that. You joined quite young, you were what, 16 or something?
Well, it depends on... There's no mic, because without the mic it'll be tough. Especially... There's one more mic coming. I saw a bunch of mics. Just now.
Well, while it's coming,
you can take it. It'll come to you. Yeah, I was an Indian 18, American 17. 17 completed 18 running. We call it 17. Here it's 18. So I had finished high school a year early, 4 years. In India, they don't call it high school, but higher secondary. Higher secondary. And in the United States, 9, 10, 11, 12 is high school. Here, 9 and 10, 10 is considered, you know, it used to be very important. Now it lost its importance a long time ago, but the present, what is it called, HRD minister, Kapil Sibyl, has openly said that 10 is not important anymore. It's 12. And that's been the standard in the United States. So I finished 12 after 11. And they allowed... If you went to summer school for 6 weeks, 4 hours a day, with only one subject, English, you could leave in 1 year early. If you finish other studies, you could have an adjustable. They allowed you to take elect courses. And if you finished the whole syllabus, it was like a university choice in the high school. Anyway. So after leaving the high school, there was summer vacation was in progress. So I went by road without any money to New York.
From Chicago.
Yeah,
I was born and raised in Chicago. I was born in Chicago, raised in Evanston, which is just a bit different from the city.
It's a suburb.
It's the first suburb north of Chicago. From my community and my area of Chicago, there's a number of ISKCON devotees who are well known. The oldest of them is Umapati Swami.
When you say community, you mean?
Jewish community.
JSB. Is it JB?
No, it's...
JBD.
Jewish Body Devotee. It's an ethnic group. It's an ethnic kind of a group. There's a lot of Khichdi, in fact. It's 256 shades of gray, because it doesn't mean one thing. That people have concepts that, oh, you're all the same. Somebody recently, a god brother who's from Germany, and who I spent 2 months visited, he's now in Mayapur. And he was saying, yeah, it's this Jewish background. But fact of the matter is that no doubt that ethnic influence was there, but it wasn't the main influence. The main influence was school, the TV, media,
That shaped our intellectual development in childhood.
And at that time, I guess, the later stages of the hippie.
That came in when I started high school, for me, which was 1969. The actual hippie movement started, it wasn't one thing, it started in different places. You can't say one person started it, but at Harvard University, which is Timothy Leary and Dr. Richard Albert, who today calls himself Ramdas, who lives in Hawaii, and he's paralyzed partially. He had a stroke. He's 75 plus. His father was a railroad president. He was a Jewish kid. And Timothy Leary was obviously Irish. For those of us who are, because I grew up in an Irish neighborhood. When I was 10 years old, we moved in between all the 8 kids in this house, 10 kids in that house.
You've probably not heard these names, but they were actually very, very influential. I mean, they were the fathers of the... fathers of the hippies.
The so-called counterculture.
They popularized dialysergic acid.
Popularized taking drugs.
Otherwise known as acid.
Yeah, taking drugs. No, even the whole idea of actually taking drugs goes back to Lord Shiva. It's tamasic. And,
you understand.
But in the modern United States,
Timothy Leary's mentioned in Prabhupada Lilamrita. He gets a mention.
See, thing is that the media, the mass media which has come up, mass communication combined with mass media, made the world a global village in the last 50 years, say.
Yeah, a global Harijan colony.
Well, the jet air travel, not even airplane travel, but jet airplane travel made the world so-called smaller, brought cultures together.
By the way, you hitchhiked from Chicago to New York.
Right.
Okay.
We want to get back to that. Yeah, so I hitchhiked from Chicago to New York, and to make a long story short, I had already gotten back to Godhead magazine in 1971. The first devotee I ever saw was in 1970 in what's called Lincoln Park. In Chicago, there are two famous parks downtown or the center of the city. Grant Park is on the lakefront, right next to the downtown. In 1969, I went there for a music concert that turned into a riot. And I actually, had to run. I had a bicycle, so I had to run with the bicycle, and then I got away quick. I was 15 years old. I started seeing the bricks flying, and the glasses, bottles, and then the tear gas, and the police car, and then everybody running. But another music, this hippie music in the park. So in 1970, there was a local Chicago band. That was a very famous band, but anyway, sorry, all the remembrances. So the Chicago band was playing. I even remember the name, but I won't mention it. You won't know it because it was a local band. And some, strange guy in a shaved head, you want to buy some incense? And I said, well, yeah, it's 25 cents. That's how much it was. I didn't have it. I was a kid. I had nothing. I guess I went with my parents. I can't remember if my father was there or whatever. We were in Lincoln Park. It's a zoo also. There's a zoo and a park. So that was the first devotee I saw. And then later on, the United States has changed quite a bit. It has become a place where there are these vast malls, Walmarts, and other type of shopping malls. But in those days, there were no Walmarts and no shopping malls. There was the center of the city, which had big retail shops, huge retail shops in high-rise buildings. You would go up six stories, and there were all these, merchandise on sale. And we would go down shopping to downtown Chicago. It's called the Loop. Here there are no Americans, huh? Oh, where is, what's his name? Nitya Gauradas. He's from a village area. Madison, Wisconsin. The land of cows, Goloka. This is Gokulananda and that's Golokananda.
That's Gohatya.
It's called America's Dairyland. No, they, yeah, when the cows get old, they slaughter them. That's a fact. I won't deny it. But it's called America's Dairyland. So that's a village. But when people want to go shopping, they used to go in the, there's a place, the center of Chicago is called the Loop. You don't know about that.
I've been to Chicago twice, maybe a total of 4 days.
What happened? They built an elevated train line. I don't know, when was that built? Like in the 1920s, I think. It's like 80, 90 years ago.
Al Capone's time.
Oh, before Al Capone. I don't know, everybody thinks Chicago means Al Capone. Al Capone died in 1940, whatever, 47, 48, in prison. He was in prison for tax evasion. Al Capone, you never heard his name? He was a gangster. Or as they say now, as Ben Stein said, gangster. It's another upper branch of gangster.
It's
he was a criminal. He was a gunda.
He's the most famous person that ever came out of
Chicago. He was a mafia king. He was an Italian mafia.
Okay.
So anyway, I got in downtown Chicago, there is a big street. Like in New York, they have Fifth Avenue. So Chicago has State Street. It's not as long as Fifth Avenue, but they used to have all these big shops there, and it's all finished. So there was a devoted woman, and I got a Back to Godhead magazine. And I remember I just browsed it and I left it at my aunt's house. I had an aunt. This is my mother's mother, my grandmother's sister, we called aunt. Great aunt. So we went to her house and I looked through it and it said Vedic marriage. There was an article. This was 1971. I think a lot of people here were born in the 1980s. I'm about to speak of 1971. So then in 1972, I traveled to New York and then I traveled back to Colorado. And I won't mention all my experiences, but should I say it? Speaking of gangsters, I was arrested and thrown in jail.
Suffice to say you weren't following strictly the principles.
Well, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time and I had two puffs of the ganja cigarette and suddenly guns were pointing at everyone. So I spent 6 days as a guest of the government. After which charges were dropped since I was below 18. I hadn't completed 18. And I was asked to leave the state, which I didn't do. So I went to, from there I went to Boulder, Colorado, which is where the University of Colorado, it's a very beautiful place. You went? You've been to Boulder. Boulder is where the Great Plains of the United States meet the Rocky Mountains, kind of like Salem, right? You have the agricultural fields and the Cheverois, the Cheverois Hills. All these foreigners know English? I don't believe it. Europeans, you all know English?
Yes.
Ruski Padania, they all know Gauranga, they all speak English. It's Nyayu. What is it? Angala. You say Angala? What do you say in Russian?
English.
Englishkia. Englishkia is Nyayu. You know. Rest? Yes? Okay. The world is progressing towards English instead of... Sanskrita Shikshaniyaha Tadviparitam Angalam Shikshayanti Sarve. What to do? So then in Boulder, Colorado, where these one side mountains, huge mountains, these are small. Anyway, it's not so small, but it's like a wall of mountains, right? It's just like a wall of mountains one side and nothing the other side, just flat land. It's a beautiful place, Boulder. They had a spiritual fair. They had everybody, all the Hindu, they didn't call themselves Hindu, spiritual. Yoga, yogis, and this one and that one. At that time there was Bal Yogeshwar in India. He's everyone has forgotten him here now.
In a house in Gujarat, they had his pictures everywhere. Some house I went to.
Really? There's still some people. It's like, you know, there's still some disciples of XYZ, ISKCON.
Where was that?
ISKCON followed gurus.
Bhakti or Valsad or somewhere.
There's still disciples of... Like,
first time I'd seen his picture. I had the misfortune of seeing his picture.
For 30 years. So there, they were charging for eating, but the ISKCON devotees were giving free food, and that was pretty good for me. Because I was traveling around with nothing. I literally had $40 in my shoe. And had no money. And so wherever I could get free food, that was how I was living. And so of course I hadn't become a vegetarian at that time. But I met devotees and talked to them, got back to Godhead magazine again. But it wasn't till at least a month that I returned to Chicago. A lot of other stories which I shouldn't relate. But I came back home, and the temple had opened in Evanston, by coincidence. And at that time I got
a
car.
Is it the same building they have now?
No.
It's a tiny little place.
It's totally destroyed. No, it wasn't a tiny little place, it was huge.
Oh.
It was the YMCA for the Negroes, the African American YMCA. It was segregated. Before World War II, I think after World War II, segregation became a major issue in the United States. Slavery was abolished in the 1860s, but it took 90 more years for segregation to become an issue, that why are the blacks
segregated? But it wasn't until Martin Luther King that it really broke.
No, Martin Luther King was a leader, but there were other agitators. It started in the 1950s.
Yeah.
And it came into the 60s. So, ISKCON purchased this huge facility. There was a huge swimming pool inside, which was empty. We used to go and hide and you know, after eating tons of sweet rice, we used to sleep in the... That was the thing, to eat sweet rice here, or payasam, and go sleep in the swimming pool. After, you know, eating a lot of prasad. So I went to the... One friend had an easy journey to other planets. I read that and I started going to the temple to buy incense. That was the excuse. I want to buy incense. And I would talk to devotees and then they invited me. They had a Gita class. So anyway, again jumping further, I joined the temple. That was February 1973.
What inspired you to do that?
I read the Gita. By that time I had read all the translations and half of the purports. And I had been reading some other books, hippie ideology type of books. Carlos Castaneda, he knows that. You heard of that too? Oh, other foreigners heard of that. It's kind of hippie ideology of taking drugs and seeing wonderful things. So anyway, the contrast between the two was striking in my mind. And then I thought India is the cradle of civilization. I had that in my mind. I can't, maybe from old movies or school books or Sanskrit, the oldest language. I don't know exactly how I had this.
Oh, that reminds me. I just came to my mind. You're from Chicago. Had you ever heard of Vivekananda?
No.
Everyone in India thinks that Vivekananda is famous, but in the place where he made his historic speech
yeah.
No one's ever heard of it.
In fact, foreigners, Americans who are from European descent, they don't know much about Hinduism. Yoga has changed it. To a great, the practice of yogasanas has changed that. but in my day. In fact, I didn't tell one story, that's an interesting story. When I was 6 or 7 years old, there was a Pakistani family moved next to us, but I'm sure they were Bangladeshis. If you see the picture, there's still pictures of this woman next door with the tilak.
The Hindus, yeah, because they were getting out of East Bengal.
No, they were in the military. He was a military in nearby Evanston. Giriraj Swami's place is called Glencoe, where he grew up. And there's a naval air base, Glencoe Naval Air Base. And a number of foreign military people who were connected to the American military. I mean, he must have been a young major. They were a young couple.
Uh-huh.
And this was like 62. And they were in the exactly next house to ours. And we were living in a small house. It was a house. It wasn't an apartment. But it was a tiny little thing. And one day, the lady wanted with the sari, wanted to take me home, and I ran crying back to my mother. Strange, the color was strange. The dress was strange. But my mother had a very good relationship with them. They didn't stay very long. They stayed maybe a year.
Yeah, maybe some training.
It was called Pakistan. Remember, there was Pakistan.
Of course. Yeah. They were probably
East and West.
They must be East Bengal. Hindus.
That's what I thought. Well, she might have even been a Muslim, because Muslims in East Bengal,
right, of course, yeah.
They put kumkum too. Not all of them, but many of them.
And they all wear saris.
They all wear saris. She didn't have a burqa, ever. So maybe they were Hindus. Who knows? Hard to say. The names are gone. And my mother's gone, so I can't ask her. She didn't remember the name, because we did talk about it. So that was the first touch with someone from the subcontinent. But yeah, Vivekananda? No, nothing. No, Yogananda later on, because I was in Los Angeles.
They haven't heard of him so much
and
here.
And they had Yogoda.
They haven't heard of him so much here.
In South India, because he was from what's now Jharkhand, Ranchi. And that autobiography of a yogi, it was definitely more popular than anything of Vivekananda in the West.
Yeah, still is.
And in Los Angeles, they had this Yogoda Satsang.
It's still a popular book among...
I was actually going to go there.
Seekers. Right? Yeah. Is it in Croatian? Yeah. Translated? Yeah.
In 72, late September, I was in Los Angeles for 10 days with my mother's sister. And I wanted to go to both this Yogoda and to ISKCON, which was Hare Krishna. I didn't make it. I didn't have a car. And moving around Los Angeles without a car, you're at someone else's mercy. And so nobody took me. And public transportation in Los Angeles, it exists now. It hardly existed in those days. There are buses now. You can get on a bus for $3 a day and go anywhere. It's pretty good that way. Oh, it takes forever to get anywhere in Los Angeles with a bus. Huh. So I was in the temple for 1 year. We're going to skip now. We're going to skip it up. Fast forward. That's it. Fast forward. I was in the temple for a year. I got initiated. And then the program was made to come to India. And I had never seen Prabhupada. What happened was in 1973, Prabhupada came to New York. We were in Chicago. He went to Dallas. Chicago to Dallas is 1,600 kilometers. It's quite far. 900,000 miles. And then he went to Los Angeles. And so I think he came back to Los Angeles again in December. He came in the summertime. But I'm not sure of 73 Prabhupada's movements. I haven't memorized them. But I remember he was there in December 73, but I might be wrong. Maybe it was just in the summer. I can't remember what Prabhupada's timeline in 73 was. But we went to only three places outside of Chicago in that 1 year. We went to Milwaukee for Summerfest, where we distributed books from 12 in the afternoon till midnight. And stayed at one Indian man's house, and who fed us nice prasad. Simple. It wasn't spicy. It was simpler, but you know, it was Indian style. And we went to Detroit for Rath Yatra, where Sudama Maharaj, I think, was the Maharaj. Can't remember if there were any other sannyasis there, I doubt it. This was before the Fisher Mansion, 2 years before they purchased the Fisher Mansion. And we went to New Vrindavan for Janmashtami, and we had Vishnu Jan Swami on the way back in the van. We had a Dodge van, I guess about 8-10 of us somehow fit into that van. And there were like 9 sannyasis at New Vrindavan. Paramahamsa Parivraj, but Prabhupada didn't come. He had come the year earlier when Jaswati Nandan got initiated. So anyway, I went from, in February 74, I got in the airplane, $640 I remember was the ticket, and was one way Chicago, New York. I went to the temple. It was early morning, Chicago, New York. It's an hour and a half flight, if the weather is good. And took the train from the airport. Yes, they had a train from the airport in those days, which they don't in any place in India. It's going to come in Delhi. But in 1972, you could get on the train at the, I think it was LaGuardia, and take the, there was Henry Street Temple, when Bali Mardan was married and ruling. And Jai Sachinandan was there, Lokamangala, my old friend who's left this world recently. No, 10 years ago.
Was it?
Yeah, long time ago. AIDS. And Ramapad Swami, the GBC chairman, was Sankirtan leader, as I recall.
Jai Vaita Brahmachari was there?
No. Jai Sachinandan took me around. And then, where is Prabhupada? Go and ask Harikesh, who had just come from India. So he said, Prabhupada is in Vrindavan. So I went...
Were you going to... JFK. Was the idea of staying in India?
Or yeah, Prabhupada wanted 50 devotees. Actually, the story was, Kirti Raj, who I didn't see, had gotten 50 visas sanctioned by the New York Indian Consulate, and they were entry visas. And each temple was supposed to send one devotee. So I was the Chicago devotee. The president didn't want to send me. He said, no, you shouldn't go until after you get second initiation. But it's a long story. I won't go into the details of that.
So you were like, what, 19 years
old? Yeah, so this time now I was 18 completed, 19 running. Mm. I was about to complete 19 2 months later. Less than 2 months later. So who's that here? Who's 19 now? Indian 20. 19 completed. No, it's 18 completed, 19 running. No one? What are you? What's your age? 18 completed, 19 running. Okay. So I went to the... I met Bali Mardan also for a moment when I was leaving. And I had prasad there and took the train to the JFK airport, Air India. And Air India, you know, the saris, hostesses with the saris, and it was the 747. New York to London, Paris, Rome, Beirut, Delhi, Bombay. Same plane.
Bus service.
Those were the days. Yeah, they wanted to pick up passengers along the way. It was a different business model. It's actually a waste of a lot of fuel, too, stopping and starting. So in Harikesh had said Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and I knew Vrindavan was near Delhi, and when the plane went, I didn't even know the plane was going to all these places or Delhi. You know, we didn't inquire. I didn't inquire. I was there in India to Bombay. And yeah, Bombay also, I didn't even know how to get to the temple. I had a phone number. So I got off the plane. They allowed me to get off when I explained I want to make a phone call.
In Delhi.
They didn't allow anyone off except the deplaning passengers. But they let me get down. And you know, the phone, in those days it was 30 paisa for a phone call.
if you could.
And there was no directory, and so I just got back on the plane that day. What to do? My luggage was anyway checked, as I recall. So I got down in Bombay, went to the temple. It's a long story. I called them up, and Sridhar Swami, the late, as a brahmachari, he picked me up with his stubble like this. Mine is only 2 days, but he had a few more days. With a jeep, they had a jeep.
Which you wouldn't see in America, probably.
Yeah, right? Anyway, it wasn't.
Except in Europe.
And then he took me in the jeep to the temple. And Prabhupada came the next day. So that was, it took this long to get to Prabhupada. So the first time I saw Prabhupada was at the airport where he was walking off the plane at the Santa Cruz airport. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was his secretary at the time. Satswarup was secretary, servant and cook, everything. And Pradyumna was Sanskrit editor. He came. Tamal was there. He was the GBC. He's gone. So, Satswarup happened to be the GBC for Chicago, so he knew me. Not a very close relationship, but he knew I had come from Chicago. So he was cooking, so he asked me to clean the pots. And they're tiny pots. I had never seen such small pots, you know, in America. And in the temple also. Even at home, the pots were bigger, you know. So, at 4 o'clock, Prabhupada would meet with guests from 4 to 6. They call it darshan time. And he was giving lectures in the morning, as I recall. There was also a morning walk on the beach. He would come back and give the lecture, and after the lecture he was distributing halva, which he would push into everyone's hand. That I remember. And one day I was cleaning the pots, and the door flew open, and Prabhupada was standing only in a kurta. And he said, "Can't you hear? There's someone at the door." I didn't hear anything. I was, you know. So I, sure enough, I went to the door and there was a devotee there at the door. I was ringing the bell. Those flats are all destroyed. The flat where Prabhupada stayed. As I recall, George Harrison came to visit at that time. Or it could have been when I came back. Most likely it was at that time. And Prabhupada was showing him the land from his balcony. I remember that. We didn't get close to George Harrison. He was brought in and brought and taken out. And I don't know the details of the visit. He just came to meet Prabhupada. He didn't stay there with his gun or anything. Probably stayed in a big hotel somewhere. So Prabhupada's lectures in Bombay, I can't remember the exact. Maybe he was giving in the evening also, because one time Pradyumna was chanting his rounds during the lecture, and Satswarup chastised him. He said, "Why are you chanting during the lecture?" You know, quietly, and I happened to be in the proximity. And the morning walks, can't remember.
You could probably jog your memory if you listened to the lectures or read them in the book.
Yeah, it's hard to remember the details. I wasn't the one talking there, that's possibly why. I was just listening. Quite a few of those debates between Prabhupada and Dr. Patel, I heard. And I kept seeing Patel for years, and one time I did go to his house, and he's passed away. He was retired, I don't know if he was in East Africa, probably. He was in East Africa, he was a medical doctor, and Prabhupada and him, they had this. It's called a tough love relationship. Tough love. They loved each other.
That you could perceive.
I guess so. There were fanatic devotees who hated Patel because he was a disputant. He used to dispute with Prabhupada, but Prabhupada loved that. And he respected Prabhupada like anything.
But he was very, very heavy in his comment, in his dispute.
Well, yeah, he wasn't insulting.
No, he maintained respect.
Ideological disputation.
He was challenging.
Yeah, but Prabhupada loved that. He loved chastising him also. Gently, you know, not angrily. He never had a hatred or anger for Patel. They were like sparring partners type of, you know, when you box. Where is our Serbian, what's his name? Yashoda Kumar, whatever his name. Oh, he's got initiated by JPS. Right? You? Who are those two? Anyway, he's Serbian. Boxer. I think he's back in Serbia. Or Croatia, one of the two. He's in Serbia. Okay. So yeah, when you box, to become expert, you need someone to box with you. And to take the punishment. The big boxers, they have a sparring partner, it's called. So, Patel was Prabhupada's sparring partner. For years. Whenever Prabhupada was in Bombay, and in fact, 73, 74, 75, and 76. The last years of Prabhupada, even 77, so 73, 74, 5, 6, 7. Last 4 years of Prabhupada's life, he must have spent more time at Bombay than any other place. Must have. That's for sure. The Juhu project was his, he gave more time and importance to that than even Mayapur. Although Mayapur, he organized the annual festival, but his own time and energy and money went into Juhu. No question.
It was his office.
Right. And Juhu, because of the success of Juhu, ISKCON got the name. That
became established in India.
Became established as a very major religious institution. Without being officially a religious institution till now. Oops. Turn off those recorders. Open secret. I'm sorry, it became a very famous charitable and educational society.
This is legalese. ISKCON's registered
as a charitable and educational society. And I'm the treasurer with no money. Now they are pushing me to sign something as the treasurer. Okay. All right. Yeah, I have to. Bhima called me up the other day and said, you know, you have to do some of the treasurer work. Bhakta Rupa will help you. Okay, you just have to sign some reports or something. I mean, it's all supposed to be prepared and I just sign theoretically. Anyway, whenever they tap my shoulder.
So anyway,
then what happened that all of my money, which wasn't much, that was also just $40, my passport, and I had brought a calculator. In those days, you know, these tiny calculators, well, it was a bigger size calculator, but it was $50. It had just come in the market, new thing. Was taken away by Mohanananda, a devotee who probably none of you ever heard about. And it makes no difference if you ever heard about him. He's long gone, thank God. He was a tyrant. He was a, you know, it's called Tanasha in Hindi. What do you say in Tamil for that? Dictator.
Sarvadhikari.
Shoot Sanskritam. Shatam Pratishatam Sanskritam. Sarvadhikari. Who said that Tamil is not full of Sanskrit words? We were talking about that this morning. Sarvadhikari. Pure Sanskrit, huh? So, I was put on the train. I had a plane ticket. The ticket was up to Calcutta. Return. They took away my up. In those days, you could take the ticket and change the name and get away with it. Nowadays, it's all e-tickets. So I was put in the train with Sridhar Swami and there was Sannyasi Pancha Dravida, who is also long gone from ISKCON. You've heard his name. He was in Madras in 1974.
Yeah, if you see the conversations.
A lot of association with Prabhupada. He was a bit, there was some screw was loose upstairs. Eccentric fellow. He couldn't look at you straight in the eye. He'd be talking to you and looking over there. But he wasn't a bad person or anything.
No, he wasn't one of the nasties.
Yeah, he wasn't nasty. He was very humble, very friendly, Jewish guy.
But a little crushed, slightly.
Little eccentric. Anyway, he's long gone from ISKCON. Although he's still a sannyasi, I understand.
In the
Sridhar camp. Yeah. Govinda remained, faithful to the instructions of Sridhar Maharaj when he disappeared. That everybody should now follow Govinda Maharaj. He's 81, I think, 81 or 82 now. Bhakti Sudha Govinda. Never met him. And don't mind if I don't. Oh. So anyway, we all rode in the train, and the memorable thing from that journey, first train journey in India, was Sridhar Swami pointing out, that's the female water buffalo, your eighth mother. The seven mothers, the eighth mother is the female water buffalo, according to Sridhar Swami. She was very funny. So we went to Mayapur, and
Because in those days, milk in India, except in Karnataka, meant buffalo milk.
Except in Karnataka? Bengal?
Well, when I came a little later, milk was very rarely to be seen, and if it was, it was 10% buffalo milk and 90% water. Of questionable origin.
Only the rasgullas in Calcutta are cow's milk. So anyway, we were in Mayapur. That I remember Prabhupada giving his lectures, and the Chaitanya Charitamrita came out. The second volume came out first. That was the funny thing. Lord Chaitanya in five features.
That came out first.
That was just a paperback. Yeah.
Adi Lila chapter 7.
But in Mayapur Festival 74, the big, which was never published again in that size, like the Krishna book size, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila volume 2. Prabhupada was giving those lectures. The prasadam was so bad that people actually fell sick. Many devotees. Bhagawan, the famous Bhagawan, was on his back for 5 days. Constant diarrhea. The only good prasad was in the one place that Achyutananda took everybody that Prabhupada got furious because of Bhakti Sundar Govinda Maharaj. Making some comment that, I don't remember what it was. You know about that?
Yeah, but it was in Bengali also. He was speaking in Bengali.
But Prabhupada got angry. Why did you take them there? He told Chaitananda. But that was where Sridhar Maharaj's ashram, we had a really nice prasad. Memorable. Was such a contrast between what they'd served in ISKCON in those days. The rough rice and vegetable, everything was meant for causing, intestinal difficulties, which Krishna Atmanath Prabhu is suffering from, severe. We had a taste of it in that prasad. And at that time I joined the Achyutananda Swami party. They were wondering, well, how is that? Who can eat, As I remember, I got my passport, but I didn't get that calculator. But I got that later when I had to leave India. It was still there. And it had been written in my passport that he brought a calculator. And when I came back from Nepal, I didn't declare it. Tiny calculator. Such a crazy regime of customs. Up until like 1990 maybe, huh? Till the liberalization. So anyway, Prabhupada went to Vrindavan and we went to Vrindavan. And we were staying in the Fogla, which devotees somehow or other call Fogla Ashram, Fogla. And opposite that, there was a 24-hour Sitaram, 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 Jai Sitaram, Kirtan. So Prabhupada in his lectures was saying, you came to Vrindavan, just try and understand Radha Krishna. This I remember. That's all. There were daily lectures. But, the general philosophy. One thing about Prabhupada's lectures is that he talked based on realization. It wasn't by rote. Whereas, of course, rote has its efficacy in learning Vedic mantras. But for discourses on philosophy or ideology, if you just repeat the party line, which I recently heard in Mauritius by Narayan Maharaj, by coincidence, it's not inspiring. But Prabhupada, inspired by, his lectures were inspiring. They were, you know, discussions based on understanding and realization rather than, you know, just going over the history that our sampradaya is, you know.
That's an interesting point, because Prabhupada's lectures, sometimes devotees say, well, they're very basic. But he spoke what you might call basic philosophy, but they're very inspiring because they were realized.
Well, we were beginners, and foreigners have no Indian culture, as we have observed, ourselves being, yeah, one devotee is on his way to India, and he's kind of excessively communicative. And he was saying, you and Bhakti Vikas Maharaj, you know. I said, well, we've been in India for so many years. We've learned
that. Was he saying about us?
Yeah, that, you know, he admired us. I didn't want to blow my own horn too loud. But
For being Indianized or what?
Well, for being friendly, gentlemanly, I guess. I can't remember the exact. Evidence in an email, actually. So I said, well, we've been in India for so long. It's in an email, it was in a type chat last night. So we've been in India, we learned a little of the culture, we learned the languages. How can you, without learning the language and the culture, how can you understand? Yeah, I was thinking about that this morning, you know. He needs to go on a...
Sri Lanka.
Send him on a Sri Lanka. Well, the thing is that the internal determination to learn the language has to be so strong that you, even if you stay here, you can do it if you just don't speak to all these foreigners in English. Just even when you see them, you speak in Tamil. That would be the way. So anyway, Prabhupada then divided all the devotees into two groups. Not personally, but he ordered.
In Vrindavan.
In Vrindavan, and half of the devotees were to go to Mayapur to study Varnashram, which is significant. He wanted everyone to learn Varnashram.
What was the program for that?
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing, which I haven't documented as such. It's just from remembrance. But 50 devotees, the leaders of the institution at that time. This isn't really mentioned in the Prabhupada biography, is it?
No.
That's something that there's a lot of things. You never heard that before?
I never heard that. The 50 devotees were sent to
Mayapur. There were 100. Actually, 400 devotees came. And he divided them into two groups. And half were supposed to go back to Mayapur to learn Varnashram. And half were to go to Bombay, where the sheriff of Bombay, a ceremonial post with no political power whatsoever, had signed a letter that the kirtan at Juhu temple was a nuisance. So out of friendship for a politician who didn't like ISKCON at the time, he signed this letter. And so Prabhupada wanted to have civil disobedience, Gandhi's satyagraha. And so I was in the group to go to Mayapur, but I was with Achyutananda by this time, so I said, I don't want to go to Mayapur, I want to go to Bombay. Prabhupada is going to Bombay. So he said, okay. So I went with him to Bombay, and most of the sannyasis went to Bombay, and Prabhupada was there, and he sent us every morning for like 2 hours to have kirtan in the area, Nagar Sankirtan, to protest this. I don't know what actually came out of it officially and what they did about it, but Prabhupada had his discourse. I was there for 10 days. And I, again, you know, morning walks on the beach, I don't think every day, but sometimes. And then I remember in Seti, who just passed away. He recently passed away. Seti's house Prabhupada lecturing and calling him the ideal householder. So it was obviously praise, because he was supporting and he wanted to encourage him. And the prasad was tremendous compared to what we had at Mayapur and Vrindavan and even in the Bombay temple. The Bombay temple prasad, please do not ask. And the cook recently expired. He was a sannyasi, Tatpur Maharaj. He was totally unfit as a cook. 100% unfit.
Eccentric to the extreme.
Yeah, but it was the prasadam at Juhu was just terrible. Terrible. But at Sethi's house, it was day and night doesn't describe the difference. Day and night doesn't describe the difference. And you know, we were living in those, in Juhu, there were these huts. They were made out of those bamboo kind of mats. Not this type of a mat, but the big strips. And there were thousands of rats, unbelievable, huge rats. It seemed like thousands, but there were many, many rats. And somehow we were living there. So then after 10 days, I got sent to Hyderabad, which was Achyutananda's headquarters, in the unreserved with, what's his name? He was in Vrindavan recently, a few years ago. Sucharu Dev Das. You don't know him? Bengali? You know Sucharu Dev Das?
Oh, yeah.
Talk about someone with a screw loose, several screws loose, and still function like a normal person. Function like, and as, you know, he was still in Vrindavan a few years ago.
I met him once. Yeah.
He asked Prabhupada for sannyas, and Prabhupada didn't give him. Anyway. But he gave a letter, actually Mahamsa threw him out, and Mahamsa was Mr. Accommodation. You know, there was that, right, Miss Congeniality movie, well, he was Mr. Congeniality, Mahamsa. You remember Mahamsa? No?
No.
Oh, well, he's your neighbor here, 400 kilometers down the road, Kodai Canal. He's really Mr. Congeniality, he's nobody's enemy. He's friendliest.
They just didn't like him at all. Anyway.
He's Mr. Uncongenial. My friend, I'm in email touch with him almost. Whenever he writes me, we get into some discourse. Boy, I went with Tejas from Hyderabad to Vishakhapatnam by flight in 1977. And I don't think I had more painful 5 days in my life. Riksharaj is comparison. Yeah, I stayed with him in Dubai in 76. Ouch. For a month. Later on, I met him in Los Angeles in the 90s, and the language was so unparliamentary, you know, Riksharaj. But he opened the door to Dubai for me in those days, and that helped build the Hyderabad temple like anything, you know. It's hard to imagine what 3 lakhs of rupees in 1976 would be today.
That's what you collected in Dubai?
Yeah, we collected together. He was there, but I was the collector. I still can't give up the habit. It's 33 years later. So Prabhupada came to Hyderabad. I didn't even know. And his lectures there at Nampali station, near the station, they had a pandal, and quite a few people came.
And many people
wasn't as big as the Reddy Hostel a year later.
Many people even today say they saw Prabhupada in Hyderabad. We meet people.
Well, he had a number of, he had 73, might have even had 72, 74. Every year he went to, except 77 he didn't come. That was the last year.
Many people.
76 December, he was there for 2 weeks.
And giving big public programs every day.
In 76 December was different. There was no public program. The temple had opened, so he was lecturing in the temple. And 1 week he went and stayed on the farm. And in that week I went to Nagpur to make life members. But he came to Vardha with Vinoba Bhave.
Oh, you were there?
I was there. There was a big group of devotees. It was almost this big. There was that, like that, 30, 40 devotees.
That's a lot, because in those days our movement didn't have many devotees.
Yeah, Ananda Swarup. I think Jayaprataka Maharaj was there, as I recall. Maybe. Giriraj. Jagadish was Prabhupada's secretary at the time. And I'm skipping ahead. Anyway,
but apart from the chronological story, there are many anecdotes.
Prabhupada showed in Varda, he showed Vinoba Bhave. Who has heard of him? How many people heard of Vinoba Bhave? Raise your hands high. Okay, put them down. Who has not heard of Vinoba Bhave?
Bharat Ram, the great scholar, has never heard of Vinoba Bhave.
Who's Bharat Ram? Acha. He was an associate of Mahatma, if you want to call him Mahatma Gandhi, Turatma Gandhi, or Mohandas K. Gandhi, whatever. So loud? Pongal. This is behind the Devi temple, probably, huh? Amman. So, Vinoba Bhave was at least as old as Prabhupada, if not older, at this time. So Prabhupada, you know, sometimes we go and we meet someone showing pictures of our activities. That I've been doing since the day one. I was just running around for a month showing pictures to the businessmen in Dubai. Same thing. So Prabhupada, it was in an
showing
album.
Showing pictures of ISKCON activities.
Showing pictures of ISKCON activities. I don't keep an album. I just dish out the pictures. So anyway, he saw the album and he, Bhava Chakrabhari! And he had this high-pitched voice. You're doing very good work, he said. Another thing I remember, three things I remember from that. Then there was this college there in Varda, and they had arranged Prabhupada's lecture there. And 10 times before the lecture, please speak in Hindi. Please speak in Hindi. And Prabhupada said, I have been asked to speak in Hindi, but because of my foreign disciples, I will speak in English. And he gave the lecture in English. It was a big group of foreign disciples. Prabhupada spoke very good Hindi. He lived in Allahabad. And then on the morning walk, I said to Prabhupada, I said, Srila Prabhupada, Mahatma Gandhi said, and before I could get any, don't criticize Gandhi here, this is his place. I don't remember if I said more than Srila Prabhupada, Mahatma Gandhi said, or Mahatma Gandhi's ideology, I can't remember what it was, but he immediately cut me off. Don't criticize Gandhi here, this is his place, they won't understand. And that's all I remember from that morning walk. You know, he didn't want to discuss Mahatma Gandhi with the devotees. Don't criticize this because...
That was his ashram.
Yeah, it was Gandhi ashram. Seva Gram was established by Mahatma Gandhi. And one thing I remember, Ramakrishna Bajaj, he's also expired. So his father was a famous supporter of Gandhi and of the, freedom movement. Jamnalal Bajaj. He was very famous. He actually was very rich and he helped like anything. Probably established this.
That's the Bajaj.
Bajaj
scooter.
Electricals and the Bajaj scooters. The one son, Kamal Nayan Bajaj's son, is Rahul Bajaj, who's quite elderly now. And he runs the scooters. Mm. And the other son was Ramakrishna. Kamal Nayan and Ramakrishna. There must have been a big, I think there were 3 or 4 sisters probably in between, because there was a gap, quite a big gap in age between Kamal Nayan and...
But that Ramakrishna Bajaj, he was a very big industrialist.
Giriraj Maharaj cultivated him. He had the sugar factory in UP. That was their business, big business. And he had the Bajaj Electricals, the fans.
And he was very...
They were Agarwals.
He liked Prabhupada. He spent time with Prabhupada, sometimes. He arranged for him to go to Rishikesh that one time.
At the end, that was after that. Giriraj cultivated him. And he arranged that whole meeting. And he was sitting there and saying, Gandhiji used to sit here, Nehru would sit there, Rajagopalacharya, with, you know, the, in the
Ramakrishna Bajaj,
in so. His house, in his father's house,
when
in Vardha.
When he was a young boy.
The Congress leaders used to come to Vardha and gather, when he was a young boy. His father hosted them, probably paid for them to come and go, type of things. So it was a historical place, their house in Vardha. Sevagram was like 7 kilometers from Vardha. Ponar was next to Sevagram, where Vinoba's ashram was. So there was Acharya's conference. Prabhupada, Vinoba, and Swami Chidananda of Divine Life, who just passed away at the age of 97, 98, I don't know. Quite old. So there was, I remember Prabhupada was in the car with Chidananda, ambassador car. They had some friendly disputation. Prabhupada made some criticism of women or some being with sannyasis. Jagadish was there. He related this to us. That I remember. Then in Hyderabad, on the farm, no, I wasn't there, so I don't remember much. In the city,
you went to Prasad with Bert Lucas. Prabhupada was there?
No, that was 74. We went to, first time I had Prasad with Prabhupada, and he sat down. They didn't have a big seat. Maybe they had some seat, but it wasn't a very elevated seat. And we all ate together with Prabhupada. But the moment Prabhupada got up...
Whose house was that?
Bhadrukas. And as soon as Prabhupada got up, everyone dashed for his plate. The disciples, and I didn't know. I was a pretty new devotee. I had only gotten first initiation a couple months, 4 or 5 months earlier. Why are you dashing? Oh, Prabhupada's remnants. I got a little something, as I recall. There are pictures of that program that are in those 20,000 pictures. You got the 20,000 pictures? You have it here?
Yeah.
Okay, I have it somewhere, but I'll copy it. Bhima gave me that. BBT, you have those pictures? Oh. You should maintain one of those hard drives now. They're 1 TB, this big. 1 TB drive is at the market. You can have everything there. Quick reference. I didn't bring it because my son said, you know, you got plenty of space in your hard drive and it shouldn't move around with it too much, but actually should have brought it.
So you were taking prasad with Prabhupada?
Yes, so we were taking prasad, and there was one pandit who came and spoke in Sanskrit with Prabhupada at that program, I remember. But I, you know, didn't understand.
You're telling one time Prabhupada, was it with the Bhadrukas who was taking more and more Srikhand?
That wasn't with the Bhadrukas, that was with Bhogilal Patel
in
Banjara Hills. Bhogilal Patel had a house in the... Banjara Hills has become the most exclusive residence in Hyderabad, the richest people. And I went to the farm with Bhogilal's car to pick up Prabhupada, but they didn't let me come back in that car. I had to come back in the temple car. But it was 30-40 kilometer ride.
You were driving yourself? Or?
No. I was, in fact, didn't have a license, but drove once in December 76. I was terrified the first 3 years I was in India. The traffic was so different. And there was a lot of bicycle rickshaws and bicycles and bullock carts and, you know, so it was totally... I had been driving since 71, 73 years in America. But I really started driving in 77. But I did drive once in 76 to get... Because the car was there and we wanted to get to Prabhupada's program in Begum Bazaar. If you've ever heard of that, it's the Marwari area in Hyderabad. And somehow I drove the car without
crowded area.
Well, from the temple to Begum Bazaar, I made it. Those were the days. So this was December 76, and the temple car, which was that same car, Bhadruka's old ambassador, which we had, we followed. He had an old Chevrolet, big, comfortable car sent to pick up Prabhupada. And so, Hansa Dudu was there, Mahamsa, Jagadish, Hari Shori. Was he still the servant? I think he was. There was quite a few devotees there, like, and he was Gujarati Patel, and he had hired cooks, and they served on stainless steel. And there was Shrikant. And I remember distinctly Prabhupada with the finger, fill more and more and more, how much Shrikant he was eating.
At the end of the meal.
Yeah, I can't remember everything, but because, you know, it was a long time ago. But I remember him more and more Shrikant. Prabhupada enjoyed samosas and Shrikant, like samosas, kachoris. He had puris and sabji in the night if he was hungry. He didn't fast in the night, but he did. If he didn't, you know, his lunch was regular. Hot chapati he had to have. Hot chapati, rice dal, sabji. He was Bengali, but chapati he had to have. Whereas Bengalis...
He lived in Allahabad.
He had lived in Allahabad, and he must have developed a taste for chapatis. Because Bengalis and here in South, they don't want... When I'm here also, I don't want to eat a chapati here. You know, why should I eat a chapati in South India? I feel like that, but because I was in Hyderabad. But in Hyderabad temple, we had the Marwari cook. We had the chapati rice dal sabji. We didn't have a South Indian. But when we went into tour of Andhra Coast, then we enjoyed. I think to really enjoy Indian cooking, you have to have home cooking. Institutional, I'm sorry. Even though I'm a lifelong institutionalist. They have the Bhaktivedanta Academy. Is that how I should refer? Rupanuga Paramarthika is tough. They have almost home cooking. 99.5. it's home cooking.
You're talking about on the Andhra Coast, you were there with Prabhupada in Vishakhapatnam at the Puri Maharaj's temple opening?
No, that was before my time. That was 71.
Oh, but you were there with Prabhupada in Puri Maharaj's ashram?
No. No.
You were never with Prabhupada in Puri Maharaj? You were never with Prabhupada in Puri Maharaj together?
In Mayapur. I brought Puri Maharaj that with Kapileshwar, who's now in... Oops! They won't link his name with someone I mentioned earlier. Kapileshwar Prabhu was... He joined in Vrindavan, but Hansaduda happened to be passing through Vrindavan with three German buses and two vans that he had driven from Germany overland. And from Vrindavan he came to Hyderabad. And then he went to Sri Lanka. You know, that's the big meditation here now, Sri Lanka. It's really definitely ripe, huh? After the tragedy. Haiti will be another after the tragedy, huh? 50,000 to a lakh of people. Yamalokam. Gatavanta. Ek, what is it called? In Sanskrit there's a word. Yugapat.
Altogether.
Yugapat at one time.
What happened?
Yugapat. Earthquake. You didn't hear about that?
Day before yesterday.
And you know who's the biggest correspondent out of this in the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times? Pooja Bhatt. Pooja Bhatia. Pooja Bhatia. And they have
Hollywood.
No, she's a you see it, a Hindu girl grew up in America. Uh-huh. They have a picture of her hair.
Yeah, but there's another Pooja Bhatia.
Pooja Bhatia? Pooja Bhatt is different from
Pooja Bhatt. That's what I'm saying.
That's why I accidentally said Pooja Bhatt.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Pooja Bhatia, she survived. That's the biggest thing. She survived it. I mean, people, the presidential palace was destroyed. The president is sleeping out. The president of Haiti is sleeping outside, worrying about the aftershocks. The whole country flattened. And they were already miserable. You know, the people there were living in the worst poverty. And
what karma. Karma fall. So
it's Prarabdha Karma.
So you drove Puri Maharaj to...
Mayapur in 1977. From Rajahmundry, Vishakhapatnam, we went for darshan at Simhachalam. Berhampur, we picked up Ananda Prabhu was there. Prabhupada's godbrother. Within 2 hours, he cooked 15 items. And the tastiest items you could...
In institution.
Wild prasad. In institution. Yeah, because when you're cooking for 5 people, it's different than when you're cooking for 100 people. But there are people who can cook for 100 people, and it's...
Translation.
Oh, okay. Anyway. And then we went to Puri and stayed in the Dudwala Dharamshala. You might have seen it. It's a big stone Dharamshala that nobody in ISKCON ever goes into. But there was no, you know, nobody had a place there. There was no Bhaktisiddhanta birthplace mutt. There was no any mutt.
Puri Maharaj didn't have his mutt.
Puri Maharaj opened in 82. I was there for that.
So then you brought him
so
up to...
So then, since I brought him to Mayapur, I took him to Prabhupada and sat with them just alone, the 3 of us. I didn't know Bengali, so I couldn't understand a day. I doubt Prabhupada knew Uriya, because Puri Maharaj was Uriya. His Telugu was fantastic Telugu. He was a Telugu lecturer, but the audiences were all Ammagarus, all ladies, predominantly. Oh, he's Telugu. Token Telugu, there's a few other Telugus here, right?
Plenty.
Oh, huh? This Tamil Nadu is 25% Telugu. But funny Telugu, right? not pure Telugu. Sanskritasya Putriyaha, daughters of Sanskrit, all of them. Oh, Namaskara Mandi. He's the Tamil Telugu. He's pure Telugu. Watch out. So that was, and then Prabhupada gave one lecture in 77 in Mayapur, and then he fell sick. Couldn't do anything. Then I saw, the last time I saw Prabhupada was in Bombay. Tamal Krishna Maharaj opened the door, and my God, he had lost so much weight. Between Mayapur was February, was it February, March, and a month and a half later in Bombay was just a stick, skin and bones. A month and a half later, I didn't come to the Bombay Pandal. That he could hardly, you know, he was sick, but he insisted on going and speaking. But in Mayapur, he cancelled all the speaking. In 76, when Bogi Lal came to meet him in the first week, before we ate at Bogi Lal's house, it was just Prabhupada, Bogi Lal, his friend, and myself. The servant was out, and Prabhupada told them, everything is failing. My kidney, my liver, my stomach. I remember this.
You're speaking in Hindi? Or?
No, in English. He said, everything is failing me. My kidneys, my liver, and my stomach. He spoke with Bogi Lal in English. Bogi Lal was a Bombay. He was actually from Ahmedabad. He was 3 years older than Prabhupada, Bogi Lal, but he respected Prabhupada like anything. But his son... Anyway, what to do? It's not always like father, like son, huh? It's not always like that. Generalizations, atma vai putra, doesn't always work. So I became worried. And then I came to Bangalore in October, a month before Prabhupada passed away, and Achyutananda and Yashodananda were there. So Achyutananda told me, he said, this is his disappearance leela and I don't want to be present. He said, Haridas didn't want to be present. But Haridas left the world. But anyway, he didn't want to be present. He knew that it was a slow deterioration. Internal organs stopped functioning. I totally reject this poison idea. It's utter rubbish. Because I was there. I mean, we didn't go and meet Prabhupada in, Sridhar Swami wouldn't let us go. He was the temple president. But, you know, Prabhupada was in control. There was no external, what did they get? They already had the power. Prabhupada had decentralized the power. You know, it wasn't like Prabhupada was holding all the money and they were, you know, going to get it by poisoning Prabhupada. It's such a stupid idea. You know, it's not logical. And people are, 32 years later, they're still saying Prabhupada was poisoned. He had already, Prabhupada's whole managerial scheme was empowerment. You empower the local president. The local president had the money. Who was going to take it away from Prabhupada?
Prabhupada never held on to it anyway, at any time.
Right. He had trusted people. Tamal was his trusted man. Tamal and Giriraj were the trusted men for the finances. And Rameshwar for the BBT. And they sent the money to Juhu. They didn't build bungalows for themselves. I never saw Tamal had a bungalow anywhere. He lived like a king. I ate with him in 1994 in Dallas. He was living like a king, not like a sannyasi. But what's that on your shoulder? A bug? Yeah.
It's
a leaf. Oh, it looked like some kind of a moth or something. He sat at a table and had, you know, so many people serving him and all that, but he didn't build himself a separate, he was living in the temple. He had his quarters. He was a preacher. Well, anyway, at the end he became an academic. That's another story. But Prabhupada trusted him, whatever he was. He had full trust in him. And there's no evidence that he...
Anyway, I don't think anyone here believes that, but anyway.
Right.
Maybe they never even heard of it.
Such nonsense.
It's just something someone dreamed up. Did Prabhupada ever give you any personal instructions?
I picked up Prabhupada once in Hyderabad, and he was throwing these same rose petals to the crowd after the opening, and I was behind him somehow in the room. I came there to look, and he motioned
from the balcony.
There was a balcony, it's still there, I hope, over the Hyderabad temple, and picked him up.
You were there with Prabhupada in Nellore?
Yes. In Nellore, Tirupati, all I remember, he did a full Shashtanga Dandavat and said, Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajam, just like on the tapes. And he said, this is Bal Krishna is child Krishna. Balaji is child Krishna. That's all. Then he gave lectures, which I attended. I don't remember. I remember in Hyderabad when he had six ministers were invited to this ex-ambassador's house, Mutiyal Rao. And they had a big program there. And then at that he said, Balaji's money belongs to Balaji. It should be spent for Balaji. It should not be misused. That was one thing he wanted to say. And of course it never affected the way the temple is administered, but anyway, I mean there's two sides of the Tirupati.
You were on some walk with Prabhupada in Nellore?
Yeah, we went outside, I was on everyday walk. But all those lectures, all those walks were recorded and they were lost in tapes. Harishori, he had sent them and in transit they got lost. Such is life.
I think it was
But one thing I remember, he came out the door and there were these chickens. Not these chickens that you see here, but special. They're called Chinese hens.
Guinea fowl.
No, Chinese. They're big, fat, and gray.
Uh-huh.
A little different type of a bird.
Yeah, but they're the ones that keep away the snakes.
Chinese hens? I see. Anyway.
You're showing.
Anyway, the Prabhupada said that in Bengal, people take the eggs of these chickens and boil them and eat that with rice. He said, these people are keeping these chickens, it means they're non-vegetarians, so I cannot eat their food. So from today, we will have to cook for ourselves. He said this on the morning walk. So that, you know, remained in my mind. Certain things like that remain in my mind.
There was, where was that? It was somewhere, either Nellore or Madras that, I think Achyutananda said to Prabhupada.
No, we were on the beach, Marina Beach, where the tsunami killed how many people? Who's been living in?
Who knows?
2,000, 3,000 just got swept off the beach. I saw that beach the other day, right? We took off from the airport to come here and we went, I was surprised, we went over the beach, Marina Beach, turned right and just flew over the water for like 20 minutes.
Avoiding the city.
Well, they come down the coast anyway comes in west,
Anyway, what about the body walk?
So, Baba Bhuti, who is no longer, he also
so
passed away.
So many passed away. Baba Bhuti, I remember.
Well, my, his body can go at any moment, huh? And there's so many bodies. We have a grasshopper here. And so he said, Prabhupada, the Gaudiya Mata Yati Maharaj probably, said that if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go spread his mission in the West, that he would have done it himself. Why should you do it? No, why?
He was criticizing it.
Yeah, he was criticizing it. You know, there's no need for this. He would have done it himself if he wanted to. That was it.
He was implying that Prabhupada was making some kind of offense by preaching all over the world.
That I didn't hear.
But that's the implication.
Well, yeah, he was envious.
What?
Not jealous.
What?
Is he still alive?
I didn't hear he passed away. I saw him a year ago or so.
Is it? He must be 80, whatever.
He's old.
Yeah, he's washed up. Not only age, but he doesn't do anything anymore. He's invalid, I think. Or he just takes it easy. So anyway, because the other ones travel like anything, right? Bhakti Vallabh Jetha with all of his heart.
He's old now also.
He doesn't travel around anymore.
He's sick.
Well, he had one or two bypass surgeries probably.
So anyway.
Thank you. So he said, no, Prabhupada said, so why didn't he go there himself? So Prabhupada said, he wanted me to do it.
He wanted to give me the credit.
No, he wanted me to spread the movement there. That's what I remember. Now, why didn't he go there himself, was what Baba Bhuti said. And then Prabhupada said, because he wanted me to do it. So,
that's a historic.
That was, yeah, historic. That Rajeshwari Kalyan Mantapam, there was 2 days program, but they sent me to Nellore on the second day, so I missed the morning walk. No, after the morning walk I left. They wanted me to check on the arrangements for Nellore, because we had a program a year earlier that I organized. 1975 program, my God, we had 4 meals a day. Not 3 meals, not two, not three, 4 meals a day. There weren't that many invitations in 75. And tremendous prasad, so tasty. Nellore is a rice, you know, very good cooks. I remember that. The man who organized that is still alive, but he's like, he's old and invalid himself now. Because I went, when I came in April. No. When was that? Radhastami of 2008. After Rajamundry RGB meeting, I went by road from Vijayawada to Tirupati and we stopped at Nellore for an hour. Sukadev Swami's temple. He has some devotees, not this many. But he's also quite active preacher. And I asked what happened to M.V. Krishna Reddy. He was the man who organized both programs, 75 and 76. So he said, he's there, but he's very old and not keeping, you know, indifferent health, I guess. He didn't use the word. And I didn't have time, you know. It was a pit stop, you know. We saw everything. Prabhupada was there for 5 days. Very well attended lectures, morning walk every day, talking about different things. But for the life of me, talking about book distribution once, Sankirtan, that was also discussed. But for the life of me, I can't remember the details.
What's your remembrance of the impression that Prabhupada had on the Indian people at that time?
Well, certainly had an impression. No doubt, he had become a famous personality. He was not the most popular and famous, but he was a famous personality worldwide type of. Tremendous receptions at Hyderabad Airport. That's something I don't talk about a lot. We used to, let's see, there was a set, so I came in 74, so I don't know what happened then, but 75 and twice in 76 we sent postcards to the life members, and my God, how many people would come to the airport to meet Prabhupada? He would be buried in garlands 2 or 3 times. Garlanded, and they would stack up, and then the servant would take off, you know, a handful of garlands, and it would repeat itself. Tremendous reception at the airports. We sent out these postcards, it was, you know, well in advance. And we had quite a few hundred life members in those days. It was a big thing. And so, got very good reception. And then the opening of the temple, I wasn't there. So I wasn't there for the organizing. I came with Prabhupada, right, in the flight. Oh, that I didn't say. And then I didn't tell about Bombay and
the flight from where?
From Bombay to Hyderabad. Uh-huh. In the French caravel. And an hour. The flight now is 50 minutes in the 737. Used to be an hour in the French caravel.
So you came with Prabhupada from Bombay?
He came with Prabhupada and he didn't speak one word in the whole flight. He chanted his rounds. And it came, it landed in the dark. It was evening, we took off probably late afternoon, and by the time we reached Hyderabad, it was dark.
And that was the day before Janmashtami?
The day, one or two days before Janmashtami. Maybe it was a couple days, possibly. Sampat Kumar Bhattacharya was right there. This caravel had a ladder at the back. And there was a door at the front, so Prabhupada elected to go down the back. And Sampat Kumar personally had the Purna Kumbha with the Swagat Mantras.
Right
there at the plane itself. They gave permission for him to go out and greet him. People used to walk from the plane to the terminal. Like Salem.
Still many places.
Sure. In Baroda, they don't allow you to walk 50 feet. They put you in a bus and take you 50 feet. This time I had the longest ride in my life in Bombay. From domestic to international. But then I was disappointed. It was a 737, not a bigger plane. I was hoping for a jump up. It's a little more comfortable, even if there are more people.
Then you were saying in Bombay something?
In the aisles.
You're saying something about Bombay?
Yeah, so in Bombay, Gopi Kumari Birla, Ashok Birla's mother, Ashok, died in the Bangalore Indian Airlines 1990. My God, it's 20 years ago. His mother, Radha Devi Mota, R.D. Birla's daughter, Brij Ratan Mota's wife, was very, at least, I don't know how much financial support he gave, but his, what's the other way? Emotional and, what's the other type of support? My God, my English.
Moral support.
Moral support. His moral and enthusiastic support for Prabhupada was unprecedented for a Marwari of his stature. His wife was R.D. Birla's daughter. And K.J. Somaya, the father, the man who started the Somaya Vidyavya, it's huge in Bombay, huge university now. I guess it's Somaya University, probably. These three multi-millionaires came to meet Prabhupada and have lunch. And I happened to...
They came to have lunch.
Yeah, and what we did, we were in Dubai, we had, you know, 3 lakhs of rupees was a lot of money in any country, and we had heard about this briefcase projector. And the two movies, Los Angeles Temple was providing for the briefcase projector, 8mm movie cassette. And so I came and Prabhupada was having a darshan, and I went there and just shamelessly, I said, Prabhupada, I have this movie. If you want, I can show them. And he said, yes. So I set up the little briefcase projector, and that was the spiritual frontier movie about New Vrindavan. Probably no one has even heard of that. You heard of it?
I think I saw it.
Spiritual frontier, Kirtan Ananda talking about Prabhupada told us to depend on nature and the cows. And it's a New Vrindavan.
Yeah, it was a big thing in those days. We used to show it in India, Bangladesh, all those places. And we only had two or three films.
The Hare Krishna people, and then the spiritual frontier was number two. That was it.
And so, it was a big thing to pull out this, like, looked like a briefcase, and you open it up and you stick it.
You had that too?
Yeah, you stick it in.
That was later on. You had it. This was Prabhupada seeing it. And he was happy to have them watch it. It was a 20-minute,
like that.
It was a short movie. 20 minutes, half an hour, and then at lunch, seeing Prabhupada, that I have to demonstrate. They were sitting on a mat. These multimillionaires were sitting on a simple like this mat. And here was Prabhupada like this. Give them more, give them, you know, I was watching, standing back, and I wasn't part of the service group, but seeing Prabhupada take care of these rich people left a permanent impression. That won't go away. How he treated these people, you know. And he treated everybody, of course. Excuse me. He treated everybody with respect, but to cultivate the rich, he showed that. He showed that there. Then there's another remembrance. I was in Kathmandu for 5 weeks in 1975. I had lost a visa. They wouldn't extend my visa. It's a long story. I went to Kathmandu and I got stuck. There was a flood in India, in Patna. You know, when I finally came back, it was almost beyond the first story in some buildings there. Tremendous flood. And all the communications from India and Nepal were cut off by this flood, and I was up there. And I came back, and I came to Delhi in the, what was it called, the Upper India Express, which stopped at Mathura, but I didn't get down, because I wanted to meet Gopal Krishna Maharaj, who wasn't a Maharaj, he was the GBC, and get a plane ticket and fly to Hyderabad. You know, this train, slow train, and I had only a 2 week transit visa. They wouldn't only give me a 2 week transit visa in Nepal. Nasty people at the Indian embassy in those days. And then I heard, you know, Prabhupada is in Vrindavan, so I rushed to Vrindavan back. And on the morning walk, the next morning, Prabhupada turned to me point blank, eye to eye, "Where have you come from?" So I said, "Kathmandu." And that was it. He didn't say anything else. We kept walking.
He recognized you.
And then Ramananda was there and we started talking about the Jews with Prabhupada. Not openly, not saying the Jews, but one thing I remember from that, it's in the conversation book somewhere, where, but I don't think this was there, that what is better, to worship the demigods or to worship the one God of the Western religions? I asked Prabhupada and he said it's better to worship the demigods. Because if you worship the demigods, you get gradual elevation. He said, because it's the Vedic system. And he said, these religions, they're the religions of the meat eaters. But we know that many Hindus are meat eaters. So what does it mean? It means beef eaters. It means those who kill cows. Otherwise, many, even Prabhupada said in another place, he wrote, if they want to eat meat, let them eat the meat of less important animals like chickens and goats. It's not that we're sanctioning it, but I don't think even the kings, this is my opinion, in ancient India, prevented Shudras from eating chickens, goats and fish. There are fishermen in the Ramayana, in the Valmiki Ramayana, there are fishermen. So it's not that, you know, it's alright to kill animals and eat, but it's the nature of lower class people, and it wasn't prevented by the Dharma Raja also. Now, there were no slaughterhouses, were not allowed. They would have to kill their own animals at home or whatever. So meat-eating religions, Prabhupada had disdain. But you'll find a lot of Western devotees. Jesus Christ is a Shakyavesha avatar and Jesus Christ. Yeah, but inside Christianity didn't have respect for it. It's better than being a tribal in the jungle. You know, if you want to do, what is it, Tara and Tanya, comparative and superlative, you know, any religion is better than no religion. But not the highest religion. Well, they say it's the only religion. Fanatics. Islamic fanatics, Christian fanatics, Jewish fanatics, they may say it's ours is the only religion. It's not logical. Or the killing of the animal has no soul. The Cardinal Danilu discussions with Prabhupada. They have no soul, Danilu said. Prabhupada was flabbergasted. How can you say they have no soul? They have the same symptoms of life. I mean, many, many people know that, yeah. Where did I see recently? Anyway, I want to talk about that. But they know that there's a living creature there. Why should it be killed?
In anything else, memories of Prabhupada?
What time is it? Oh.
9:30, that's right.
Is it? Yeah. We went on way after the... Oh, this is a festival. In the Hyderabad public garden we used to walk. And my God, there was some exchange. But I'm forgetting now. There was an exchange.
There's something about life members. The real life member is one who takes Krishna consciousness seriously. That's in Hyderabad.
It's in the morning conversation book.
And another one is Prabhupada was asking the devotees about if you're what you should say to a Christian.
And I was there.
I don't know if you were there, but that was the morning walk in Hyderabad. And then,
there's a picture of Prabhupada and Matanga, who's still in Los Angeles, still comes to the temple, and myself. I remember him from those days. Remember quite a few devotees. Shravanananda was in Hyderabad with me. He's come. He came and went. He owns a flat in Vrindavan now. And he wants to come back to India. He wants to get out of the American rat race, but he can't yet. One son is in Hong Kong. Another son's doing a PhD at Northwestern University. He's a brilliant. He's got a scholarship. Jatayu and...
Jatayu from South Africa?
No, no. His son's name's Jatayu and what's the brother of Jatayu?
Sampati.
That are his two sons' names, Jatayu. Sampati. Jatayu is in Hong Kong, in the financial sector. And Sampati is doing a PhD. Who else? He was president of Madras. With Baba Guruji, Chennai.
They fought every day. Shravanananda.
They had a tough love relationship. Yeah.
And then they married sisters.
They married sisters. But there's some strain between the sisters now, but anyway. Life is such. I think, he said something about that they also didn't approve of keeping him alive for all those years as a vegetable. You don't know that story. Baba Bhuti was kept alive as a vegetable. Couldn't talk, couldn't... He could see and think, that's all. Couldn't eat, couldn't talk, I don't even know if couldn't move. I went and saw him in that state, and I never wanted to come back, and I didn't. I feel somewhat guilty about it, but it's water under the bridge. He's gone. But I mean, you would have said pull the plug. You already said, pull the plug. But they never pulled the plug. They kept him plugged in.
It's interesting that you mentioned the name of several godbrothers. About half of them you said, he's gone, he's gone.
Yeah, quite a few are... there's some... Jayo just expired.
No, that was a long time ago.
A month ago.
Was it?
Jayo just... He had cancer, terminal cancer. Bhakta Das cured cancer. I mean, he had lymphoma. Cancer-free, they say. Oh, this well-known, but she was old. 65-year-old woman.
Rasagya.
Vaikuntha players. Only the American devotees. But they performed in Mayapur also, I think. In the 70s. Did they perform in the 80s?
I think so, yeah.
Possibly once.
Seem to remember.
Her husband, ex-husband, he also had something, stomach cancer or something, I guess. He came to Vrindavan and left his body in Vrindavan. Lohitaksha. They were excellent actors. I remember their plays at New Vrindavan 73. Janmashtami, they put on the Kali Yuga play, Age of Kali, or what was it of Kali? Lokamangala, my friend, I met him in ISKCON, Chicago, and they came for book distribution. Chicago in 73 was a crossroads of many devotee traveling parties. New York had a party, Seattle party, Sudha Das, who's still the BBT manager, he's from Chicago, south side, wrong side. Boy. Yeah. now maybe I could write a book. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be a very long book.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be a very long book about Prabhupada, though I can't remember much. Let's see, Hyderabad 74 was just 5 days. And then 75, oh, when he went to the, opened that Dabilpur Halt railway, I brought the, what was it called, the general manager of the South Central Railway, Rajan, Tamil fellow, who later on became chairman of the railway board. He must be gone. You know, he was in his late 50s, 30 years ago, right? If he's alive, he's 90 years old, or whatever, 85, 90.
Yeah.
And Chenna Reddy, the governor of UP, ex-chief minister, started yelling and shouting at him.
At who?
At Rajan, for something.
Where was this?
At the Dabilpur, near the Metro farm.
Uh-huh.
Dabilpur village.
They opened it.
What happened was, Chenna Reddy was coming to visit the farm, but actually there was this...
The ISKCON farm.
Yeah, Prabhupada was there personally. But he didn't come to the inauguration of the railway station. It wasn't a station, it was a halt.
Mm-hmm.
It was a small ticket booth.
No, it's
the trains. It's a station now, Dabilpur. I don't know. I haven't been there for a long time, Hyderabad farm.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember Chenna Reddy chewing this guy out like he was an ordinary laborer or something. You know? Oh, it was terrible. And this man was a very, you know, highly respected officer. And I don't think it was any personal fault. It was something. I don't even remember what it was, you know, like why he got so angry. And then he came to the farm, and this Rajan, I had to bring him, I was with him, personally brought him to the farm, but I don't think we could, I can't remember if I could introduce him to Prabhupada because of Chenna Reddy at that time. You know, he was big, the governor, and he was the ex-chief minister, and Prabhupada wanted him to come to the opening of Krishna Balaram because he was going to be governor, which he did. Just... Bang, after that. This was it 75, right?
Yeah, the opening of Krishna Balaram.
I was there at Krishna Balaram.
Just to clarify, opening the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan.
In Vrindavan,
because
so there was a picture.
The Dabilpur, they also, Mahamsa made Krishna Balaram.
Later on, there were no deities installed when Prabhupada visited. No. It was his first visit to that farm. And he just spent a few hours there. 150 devotees. I knew Rajan because I had arranged. I was given the task of arranging 2 train cars to come from Calcutta, bringing devotees from Mayapur to Hyderabad.
And you came in that also.
No, I didn't go to Mayapur. I was busy with the. I also organized a devotee stay at the Surabhi Hotel, which was a palace of a small king from Andhra, and he was a life member, and he gave the place. You can use it. Didn't have many amenities, but it was enough. They stayed there, and it was walking distance from the temple, right around the abbot's other corner of the abbey. Abbot's was like a 4 or 5 roads bend, 5 roads, as I recall. And I arranged for devotees prasad from Puri Maharaj at Rajamundry Station, and we promised to pay for that. And it was years later that Mahamsa paid. He didn't pay him, and he was angry with that, and I had to. Pressed the hump, say, forgot about it or something. Feeding 150 devotees. Oh, I hope I'm still making those arrangements 34 years later, 35 years later.
Well, I think the mention of